Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
Episode 68.
Can you guess a hockey player?
Jaeger?
Jaeger.
Yay, all right.
Yeah, 45 years old.
Yeah.
Still going strong, Florida Panthers.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, one of the greats, man.
Yeah, it's fountain of youth, dude. Like, I watched him when I was a little kid.
Yeah, he's
still playing hockey.
He's now the second leading scorer ever.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he passed Mark Messier.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Because he's 45 years old.
Yeah.
But he's awesome.
Yeah.
Always, man. Loved Jaeger.
Oh, totally.
Especially old school, like, mullet Jaeger.
Oh, dude, yeah.
So good.
Got the flow going.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, so what have you been up to since the last episode?
You know what, man? Not a lot. I seem to be really busy a lot
of the
time. I have no free time at all. Like tonight, this has been weird. Like I got out of a movie like a half hour ago.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to watch stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's just running around the whole day.
Oh, shoot.
But bought my Cinematheque 24-hour movie marathon ticket last night.
Hell yeah, me too.
Hell yes.
We're going.
We're going.
May 27th?
May 27th. 10 a.m. to 10 a.m.
That's awesome. Why don't you tell our listeners more about that? Because you're a little more in tune on that one.
So yeah, so it's the third time they've done it. I've been to all three. Well, we'll be going to all three. The first year was pretty cool. Adrian was not there.
That's right, yeah.
And second year, because, you know, we don't play by any rules, we recorded a podcast.
That's right.
And it was cool.
Yeah, man.
I think it's probably my favorite ever podcast because we're just flying by the seat of our pants.
Totally.
Like, legit? 2 minutes between movies.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, oh, yeah, so, yeah. Oh, shit, movie.
Yeah. We just watched this movie, and it was cool. Oh, they're calling us back in.
So, yeah, it's going to be great. Lots of friends are going to be there, so hopefully they all want to join in.
Yeah.
Heard there's going to be some beer.
Nice.
Nothing wrong with that.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
It's going to be a good time. Sports-wise, got to give a shout-out to our listener, Don Julio.
Oh, man.
Sorry about your Sharks, buddy.
Yeah, they ran into a tough team, dude.
Yeah. With like 2 minutes to go, they were down 2-1. I think it was Logan Couture shot one off at the post. It went off two posts
and
didn't go in.
That's brutal.
And I'm like, oh, sorry, Don.
That's so heartbreaking.
It's harsh.
Yeah.
But yeah, would have tied the game. They would have gone to overtime. Who knows what would have happened. Mm-hmm. But as I said before, hardest trophy to win in the world.
Yeah. By far.
They were in the finals last year.
Yeah.
And they got eliminated first round.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
It is.
My team didn't make it. Adrian sort of has a team.
Yeah, that's right.
How did Liverpool do today?
Oh, miserable, dude.
You texted me. You were like, I just can't wait for this season to be over.
Yeah. I was like, my misery will finally end when this season's over. They can't solve these bottom of the table teams.
You know what, though? Crystal Palace has beat every freaking top four team.
That's true.
So no shame in that.
Yeah.
United beat Burnley. They're now 1 point off fourth, which would give them a Champions League berth, which would be sweet.
Yeah.
My Red Sox are, I think, 500.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll be better.
Nice.
We're not Jays fans.
That's right.
Yeah.
None of that here.
None of that here. What did you think of the Last Jedi trailer?
Oh, I'm a big fan, dude. Oh,
that was cool.
I say bring it on.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to know the plot.
Yeah.
It's a teaser trailer.
It is.
You fucking idiots.
Yeah.
I don't want more from a teaser trailer.
Exactly.
Show me some mood. Get me into it.
Yeah.
It's months away.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a trailer in August.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm cool.
Yeah. I don't need to see any more until whenever. Like,
yeah. And holy crap, is that poster great?
Oh, it's amazing.
I want that poster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a frame behind my TV.
Yeah.
Oh.
And did you see her light? It's like blue and then red. Like,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not one to jump to conclusions, but I love whatever that represents. Whatever they decide, I'm cool with it.
If you kind of already didn't get that vibe off of Rey about the whole dark side aspect of it maybe happening, you weren't watching the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty obvious.
For sure.
How much Coachella did you watch on YouTube?
Not as much as I wanted to.
I watched a bunch.
Okay.
But nothing. And The Rock means nothing. Yeah. It was better than Hans Zimmer.
That was sweet. I caught some of that.
Holy crap, was that great.
Yeah.
He's touring around North America.
I've heard that.
So if Hans Zimmer and his orchestra come to your town, go and see them.
Yeah.
He's playing his iconic scores.
Mm-hmm.
And holy crap, are they iconic.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
I watched Radiohead.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
Okay.
Some technical difficulties at the beginning, but which Tom York blamed on aliens.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So good. I watched Kendrick Lamar. He was wicked.
Oh, cool.
I watched some good stuff. I didn't like Lady Gaga, so I turned it off.
Yeah.
But the XX was good.
Okay.
Yeah, I watched it all on my Xbox.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I love that. Why can't more festivals and tech events do that?
Like, yeah, well, I watched it on my big fuck-off plasma. It was awesome.
Yeah, dude. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught a bit of the Hans Zimmer one. It was fun, like, guessing which theme this is from. It was like, is this from, like, Man of Steel? No, that. Oh, that's Inception. Like, yeah. What am I thinking?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Criterion, once again, just freaking killing it. Another Holy Grail film. The Andrei Tarkovsky film, Stalker.
Okay.
One of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time.
Oh, wicked.
That would kill a 24-hour movie marathon.
Oh, really?
As long as it's not played at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
Play it about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and it will kill.
Cool.
Because it's amazing. Yeah. I can't wait for that. That's July. And last but not least, I hate doing this, but rest in peace, Charlie Murphy.
Oh, that's right. He passed away.
A couple years ago, if you weren't quoting Charlie Murphy, you were not cool.
Yeah, exactly.
He was the man.
Yeah.
Everybody watched Chappelle Show.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody quoted that Prince sketch.
Yeah.
Rick James. Unity.
Oh, totally. Yeah. He's like talking about Prince playing basketball. And the, not to sound like a hipster, but it's probably the same for you, too. He landed on my radar with CB4.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And he was awesome in CB4 as like this gangster rapper, like badass, and he just had his own energy to him. And
yeah,
whenever you saw him, he was funny.
I'm pretty sure he also wrote a lot of scripts with Eddie.
Okay,
back in those like Coming to America movies and stuff like that.
Okay,
yeah. And you know what? I can't. He was so young. Like I had no idea. Like he was so awesome, and I thought, was he 56?
Yeah, he was way too young.
Like
yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
He'll be missed.
Mm.
I guess we'll never have that Chappelle Show reunion I've always wanted, but
yeah.
Whatever, man.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to hear it. It's terrible. But yeah, rest in peace, Charlie Murphy. One of the greats
in
the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch some Chappelle Show.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it.
Oh, totally.
You already are. You have already. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's it for me, man.
All right, cool. I only have one more thing to add.
I had so much stuff. Yeah. Sorry.
It's all good. By the time this is released, the NFL draft will be underway. I'm very excited for that. NFL football is my top sport right now.
Do you have like a spreadsheet of like all the players you want to maybe draft?
I do have like some notes.
I knew it.
Yeah. It's exciting for fantasy purposes, but I just love the sport in general. So I'm learning more about all the positions like safeties, cornerbacks, defensive ends, linebackers, stuff like that. And yeah, this class is really exciting, so can't wait to see where everybody lands. And
is that Thursday?
I think Friday.
Friday?
Yeah. Starts, I think, early evening or something like that, late afternoon. So, yeah, it's exciting. And I like watching the reactions. There's always really cool reactions of, you know, players realizing their dreams and the next step in their career. So
I think the Packers could use a good pass rusher.
Oh, yeah.
Or a power back.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a lot of running backs, let's be honest.
Yeah, they only have Ty Montgomery and Christian Michael right now.
Yeah.
And neither one is like a feature back.
No, so. Not even close.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, action packed. Yeah. All right, so let's move into our next section of the show, the rant. This is where we rant about anything movie-related. Why don't you start things off for us?
Sure. So, yeah, there's not a lot of movies opening in the next month. And we have a podcast.
That's right.
And we're, like, scratching for films here. Like, I have no idea what we're reviewing next episode. Like, this people don't want to open movies against big films.
Yeah.
So Fate of the Furious, nothing opens. Guardians of the Galaxy, nothing opens.
Yeah.
Okay, we're boned for the show. There's nothing to fucking talk about.
Yeah.
So Netflix, my friends.
Oh, yeah.
Hit us up with something good. Got another Macon Blair movie or something?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That'd be cool. Yeah. Well, they've got Small Town Crimes coming up soon.
Okay.
That's Evan Katz's new movie.
Oh, cool.
So I think that's coming out in May.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So, yeah. Need something.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be going on, like, CBC's website and watching documentaries or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's tough, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even leading into this episode, I was like texting you. I was like, I don't want to see anything. Like all these movies, like they look terrible. You're kind of like, whatever.
Yeah. Like, well, show must go on. We could postpone, but
yeah.
So then we just add one more movie to the mix because nothing else opens.
That's right.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. So next episode, it might be us talking about Guardians and Chef and John Wick, and we'll have two movie club movies.
Yeah. And we can do a retrospective on South Korean horror films or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Hey, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I love I Saw the Devil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that actually just hit Netflix again.
Did it?
Yeah.
Nice.
I love that movie.
I haven't seen that movie. That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, rant out.
Cool. I agree with you, man. My rant is, when people show up late to movies, then they're loudly talking as they're getting their seats, as if the movie isn't already starting. This happened to me while I was watching The Lost City of Zed during the opening sequence. There's a few things going on, the establishing points, and yeah, these ladies showed up. They're like, I think that's our seats there, right there. And it was, of course, right next to me, right? So they're talking loud. Oh, okay, I can't read that. And it's just like, I was almost like, sit the fuck down already. And it was a distraction I didn't need because, you know, I showed up early and
you paid your money.
Paid my money, had my seat. There were no seats. The seats were empty next to me, so I thought I was in the clear, but no. Dumb shits like that ruin the experience.
When
for me.
I saw Lost City of Z today, when the movie started, I was rocking some nachos.
Okay.
So I wouldn't have noticed. I was really into my nachos.
Nice.
I was hungry. Oh, so good.
Wicked.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We get them nachos.
Damn right.
Yeah. All right. So now that we have that out of our systems, let's move on with the rest of the show.
This is going to be a really weird episode.
I think so, too.
I'm not feeling this at all.
Yeah.
I'm super tired. And
yeah.
And I'm not in a very good mood, which could be fun. I could start just screaming at things.
That's right.
I've been known to do that.
You never know.
Yeah, so where the chips land, folks.
Yeah, man. That's what we're here for. Okay, so let's talk about our first movie. What's this called? Fate of the Furious?
F8.
F8?
Fate.
Fate of the Furious.
Yeah.
Curious. Fate of the Curious. Whatever the hell it is. It's the eighth one.
Where are you going with this?
I've been doing this thing where I make fun of the titles for these stupid movies. Anyway.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really believe you could beat me in a straight-up old-fashioned fist fight?
Let me tell you something. Me and you, one-on-one, no one else around. I will beat your ass like a Cherokee drum.
Maybe one day we'll find out.
Oh, you better hope that day never comes.
Okay, so for those unaware, what is this movie all about?
Directed by F. Gary Gray, when a mysterious woman seduces Dominic Toretto into the world of terrorism, the crew faces trials that will test them as never before.
Dun, dun, dun.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Jason Statham. Michelle Rodriguez. Tyrese Gibson. And Luda.
Luda. Yeah.
Oh, and Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah, and Charlize.
Yeah. But yeah, Luda.
Yeah. That's right.
Last episode, we were throwing some shade at this film.
We were. For good reason.
For good reason. This one's a little better.
Slight improvement on the last one.
Like it's still not going to win any awards, people. It's still stupid escapist crap. Yeah. But I did like something in it.
Okay.
The Rock and Jason Statham
are
really fun together.
Yeah.
Everything else kind of blows, though.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Like Tyrese trying to be funny. And Luda being the tech guy.
Sure.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he knows everything about weapons.
Why is the supporting cast even here?
They shouldn't be.
No.
They really shouldn't be. They're distractions.
Tyrese picks a Porsche or a Lamborghini and decides he's going to drive it on snow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's why he's there, for stupid comic relief.
Yeah.
Movie looks okay. It's shot decently.
Yeah.
You know, F. Gary Gray's a pretty good worker.
Mm-hmm.
Straight out of Compton.
Yeah.
Wasn't a bad film. Wasn't a great film either.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of stuff that's super unbelievable in this film. Like, no cars are being driven out of a building into another building this time.
Yeah.
There's a submarine. That's a little unbelievable.
Yeah.
Not a spoiler. Was in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just thinking, this stuff actually kind of might happen in real life.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And another thing we bitched about, the lack of car racing.
Oh, yeah.
There was actually a car race in this film.
Oh, yeah. And that was weird.
It's in the first 10 minutes of the film, and it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's
in the grand scheme of things, it sets up one wink in the movie.
Totally.
And that's the problem with this movie, is that there are elaborate setups for payoffs that just aren't worth the time.
No. That technically is true, but that whole scene is a setup for what's wrong with the entire film.
Mm-hmm.
Vin Diesel looks like he's not giving a shit.
Okay.
He looks happy in the first scene.
Yeah.
Because it's just him in it.
Yeah, totally.
And Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah.
He looks happy. He's racing cars. And then the rest of the film, he looks like somebody shot his dog.
Oh, totally.
He's got a scowl on his face. He looks pissed.
Because
supposedly him and Dwayne The Rock Johnson were fighting on set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And he looks like it.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel ruins this film.
He does. He really does. And they try to get him to act in this movie, too. Which is, don't get him to act.
Vin, no, do not emote.
Don't try.
It's not your thing, guy.
No, dude.
Power lift. No emoting.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was laughing while he was trying to emote in this movie. And one thing I wanted to mention, too, just while we're talking about the cast, of course, Paul Walker passed away shortly after those, or was it near the end of shooting of the last one?
Yeah, because they had to do all the CG stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
So his absence is definitely felt in this one, because Paul Walker, as a person, an actor, it really felt like you were seeing the real side of him. And in these movies, he was never whipping his dick out and measuring with Vin Diesel or The Rock. He easily could have had those large personalities just totally swallow him whole. But he held his own. He was his own character, his own person. And I had a lot of respect for him for sticking through the series and coming out with flying colors. But this one is just so fucking macho through the whole movie. It's just The Rock going, my dick's bigger than yours. And Jason Statham goes, no, my dick's bigger than yours. Then the guy from Game of Thrones is like, my dick is big too. And then Charlize Theron's like, I got a big dick too. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, I can handle macho dudes in an action movie, but it just felt like they were just trying to one-up each other and trying to out-testosterone each other. And that just doesn't appeal to me.
Well, I got a couple things from what you just said.
Okay.
First off, is it a spoiler when I say they try to replace, what's his character with the name? Brian?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention.
No, Paul Walker's character, his name is Brian.
Oh,
right?
Brian.
Did they try to replace Brian in the movie? Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Does not work.
No, no.
I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's not in the trailer.
Yeah.
It's a spoiler. I'm just going to say it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell's fine.
Yeah, he's okay.
Paul Walker was kind of the glue to all those films. You are completely right on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like they were trying to make Michelle Rodriguez that character.
Oh, I see.
And she didn't work at all in the movie for me.
Yeah.
She was just there to say, but Dom, don't you love me?
Yeah. Yeah, that's her only purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Family.
I've never bought any of that stupid family talk.
Yeah.
It's always just been an empty word in this franchise. Because here's the thing. It's not a spoiler to say that they team up with Jason Statham in this movie. It's in the trailer. But if you go back to the conclusion of Tokyo Drift, or whichever one it was.
Wasn't it Fast Five?
I think it was Fast Five.
Yeah, the credit cookie.
The credit cookie. It was revealed that Jason Statham's character was the one who killed Han.
Yeah.
one of their family members. But no, they totally forget that by the time he shows up in this movie.
Sup, bro? How you doing?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, hey, what's up, man? Good to have you on the team. So you murdered our brother, but that's okay.
But I liked Statham in the movie.
He's good.
It's the best Statham's been since, like, Crank 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... There's a little bit of... do you remember him in Spy?
Yeah.
Where he's... like just destroying Melissa McCarthy and bringing out all these lines about all the stuff he's done and the things he's seen. Like there's that little bit of that in this character.
We all know that he can talk shit. We've all seen Lockstock, right?
Oh, totally.
So yeah, he's the best part of the film.
Oh yeah.
You don't have Jason Statham in this film. It's a 2-star film.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. It's a 3-star film now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm conflicted on that though. Cause I land somewhere between 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Probably 2.5.
Yeah, split the difference.
Yeah, because this should be a better movie. They've got unlimited funds. They've got all the star power in the world. But why the hell is it so boring in between action set pieces? Well, it's because you spoon-feed us exposition and give Charlize Theron like these stupid lines that she delivers in some monotone voice for some reason.
I'm pretty sure Charlize got paid.
Oh, yeah.
So good for her.
Yeah.
But how about this? Could you imagine Donnie Yen in this film? How about Tony Jaa?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's XXX3, and it's a better film.
Yeah. The next XXX, already better than this.
Yeah. And how weird is it that I'm saying that?
Exactly. Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, would you have taken a bet if I said, yo, dude, I bet you that XXX Return of Xander Cage is better than The Fate of the Furious? You'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
I would have laughed in your face. I would have told you where to go with that nonsense.
As you should have.
But yeah, XXX, that was a surprise, nice surprise for us. Because the characters are cool and they're given stuff to do and what they do means something.
Yeah.
This one doesn't mean shit when stupid Tyrese is like, I want that Lamborghini, ha ha! And you're like, okay, shut up.
Yeah. The love triangle between Luna, Tyrese, and the girl.
Okay, yeah.
What?
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, obviously you're going to pick Tyrese.
Yeah. That's right. No way, Luda. Anyway.
Luda is a better rapper.
Yeah, it's true.
Doesn't he have hoes and different area codes?
He does.
Yes.
Yeah, he's trouble.
Classic Luda lyric. Classic.
That's right. Anyway, I think we've talked way too long about this.
I agree. Yeah.
I think anybody who's listening has already decided whether they're going to see it. You've probably seen it already.
Biggest worldwide opening of all time.
Yeah.
$525 million.
It's a black hole, dude. Yeah. It's just swallowing the entire universe.
Congratulations. You made $1 billion.
That's right. Oh, man. Get ready for the Fast 9 or whatever the hell it's going to be called. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Cool.
Let's move to our next film. This one is called Gifted.
Please don't make me go. You can keep homeschooling me.
I'll tell you everything I know.
But I don't want to go.
Well, I don't want to go to work, but I do.
You don't go to work. You fix boats on and off.
Okay, it's a poor example, but you're still going.
But what about Fred?
What about him?
You won't take care of him. You don't like cats.
I don't like two-eyed cats. Fred, as you know, is monocular.
Who's going to throw him his ping pong ball?
Fred's going to be fine. No more argument, okay? We've discussed this ad nauseum.
What's ad nauseum?
Oh, you don't know? Wow, looks like someone needs school.
Okay, so what does IMDb have to say about Gifted?
Directed by Mark Webb, a single man raising his child prodigy niece is drawn into a custody battle with his own mother.
Yeah.
Chris Evans, not Captain America.
Not Captain. Oh, damn.
Chris Evans, that's his real name. Yeah. McKenna Grace, Lindsay Duncan, and the kind of always drives me nuts, Jenny Slate, but didn't drive me nuts in this film.
Okay,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
And the great Octavia Spencer.
Octavia Spencer. She classes up any movie, dude.
Adrian hated this film, so I should probably go first.
I didn't. Okay, maybe. Yeah, you go first.
All right. So that's a nice little plain story that I totally could get behind about the good guy brother who's doing good by his sister, who protects the child from the evil mother. It's a good little family film.
Yeah.
I think Chris Evans is a decent actor. He's not bad.
He's good, yeah.
Yeah, the little girl, McKenna Grace. Was she the Jacob Tremblay of this film for you?
She really, like, I liked her. She's a cute little kid.
But that's it.
That's about all I can say.
Lindsay Duncan as the mother. I thought she's great.
Okay, yeah.
Did you like Jenny Slate?
She's kind of pointless in this movie in the grand scheme of things. She's a plot device in this one.
Yeah, but she drove me nuts in Obvious Child.
I love that movie.
I know you did. Yeah. And I hated it. And I hate her, but I didn't mind her in this film.
I adore her.
And Octavia Spencer.
Yeah.
What can you say? She's awesome.
Everything with her, I loved everything with Octavia Spencer. She's just so classy. And she just cranks it up a notch.
But dude, there was a one-eyed cat.
That's right.
A one-eyed cat.
What was his name? Fred or
Frank? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... What didn't you like?
I kept asking myself, why am I watching this movie? Why should I be interested in these characters? I didn't really know much about it going in, and I guess maybe that's part of my problem. I thought it's called Gifted. I was like, okay, they show the little girl doing fast calculations. And then it just turns into a courtroom drama, and... I've been there and done that before, and that stuff just felt like an anchor to me. I was just like, oh, this is so boring. Like,
did the family stuff work for you?
No. To me, this is like white people problems, white people doing white things. I've seen custody battles in real life, and they're nasty. They're gross. They're disgusting. And I'm not asking for realism in movies. But this one is just like the Hallmark version of a custody battle, and I found that pretty annoying. So.
I will say it was directed like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, it really
was. It's really plainly directed. Yeah. That's the one thing I really didn't like about it.
Yeah.
It's plain.
Yeah.
Like, I could have shot it better.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith could have directed this better.
He could have. But I do like, you know, I do like Evans. I do like the little girl, and I like Jenny Slate. But once Jenny Slate does her bit in the beginning, she's essentially a useless character, and
she has to advance the plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Pretty much it.
That's it. But they keep trying to reintroduce her to the movie, and I don't know. Just didn't work for me.
The little math genius who's plucky and got a bit of an attitude.
Yeah.
It warmed my black little heart.
Yeah. I did enjoy her line deliveries. Yeah. Like, she was really charming with that stuff. And I can't say a bad thing about the little girl. She did what she was asked to do, and she did it really well.
So. And the stuff with the sister and the mental illness got me too. I don't know why. There's probably a reason there. I'm not going to get into it, but with my sister. But this worked for me.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I saw it right after Fate of the Furious.
Yes. That's awesome.
Where I'm just like, cleanse my palate.
Yeah.
But it worked. Like,
that's a hell of a double bill, man.
I know. I fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
Here's a little rant.
Yeah.
I signed up for a Letterboxd account.
Okay, yeah.
And I rated this film 4 out of 5 on Letterboxd, except for the star things were like moving, and I think it like put like an extra half star on there.
Okay.
And I went to look at it. I'm like, I didn't rate it 4.5. I rated it 4. And I'm like, fuck you, Letterboxd.
Yeah. That one fails me once in a while. I'll notice it gives like an extra. I think it's just because... like a fat finger while I'm grading or something.
Yeah, I did it on my phone. That's probably the reason.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not quite my tempo, this one. And I can't fault anybody for enjoying it. Like, my parents called me from the movie theater asking, should we see Gifted? And I was like, you know, I think you guys will like it. And my mom called me afterwards. She's like, I love that movie. I love that little girl. It was so good.
It's Adrian's mom's approved.
Like, that's right.
What more do you need?
Exactly.
Don't listen to me.
Don't listen to me.
Listen to Adrian's mom.
That's right. Yeah. And my thing was, why am I watching this? Why should I care? And I didn't care for anything. So
meanwhile, I'm like... Chris Evans, you're so good. You're so nice.
Yeah.
It was like a nice little film.
Nice.
Yeah. It's Mark Webb made 500 Days of Summer. Yeah. Do not compare those two films.
Exactly.
One is a masterpiece and one is Gifted.
Oh yeah.
Then he made two Spider-Man films. The yeah. first one's kind of okay. The second yeah. one's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But this is him coming back to his roots.
Oh, yeah.
By that, I mean really sloppily directing a family film.
That's right.
That's kind of good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I've got a really random question for you.
Sure.
Do you remember when Chris Evans first arrived in Hollywood? He was the... Which movie? It was a parody movie, right? It was... which one was it? It was that date movie.
I think that might have been it, yeah.
And he was basically doing Freddie Prinze parody.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. I didn't watch any of those films.
Oh, you didn't? No. Oh, I love that one. It was actually really good.
I watched a couple of the scary movies and then tapped out.
Okay. So my random question for you is, when would you say that you first started noticing Chris Evans as like a really talented actor?
Is Gifted.
Gifted. Yes. Welcome to the party.
Dick. No, probably. He's good as Captain America.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's really good.
Cool.
I think he's perfect for the role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine is that Danny Boyle film, the sci-fi.
Sunshine. Oh, I hate Sunshine.
I love Sunshine.
I know. I'm like the only person who hates that film.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But when I was watching that, he has that scene where he's like in that, you know, frozen water and, you know, that, yeah, I thought as he was playing out that scene, I was just like, whoa, this guy's like elevating his craft here. And yeah, big fan of Chris Evans.
But Adrian, why didn't you say Snowpiercer?
Yeah. He's good in Snowpiercer.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
Just being a dick. Yeah, that's it for me.
It's, cool.
I liked it. Adrian didn't.
Yeah.
Flip a coin. You might like it.
Yeah.
It's a Netflix movie.
It is.
Don't see it in the theater.
Yeah. There's no need.
No.
No need to go to your nearest Atmos theater. Yeah, your IMAX.
See it in IMAX. Probably the worst directed film of the year.
Yeah. All right.
That's really mean. I apologize. No, I actually don't.
No, man. Don't apologize.
I'm not. Why was I trying to be nice there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about our next movie. This one is called The Lost City of Zed.
Or Z.
Z? You're American.
There's a major exploration afoot.
Terrible disease, murderous savages. The journey may well mean your life.
If we may find a city where one was considered impossible to exist, it may well write a whole new chapter in human history.
You going upriver, are you?
Ain't nobody comes back from up there.
Your soul will never be quiet until you find this place.
We must turn back. There is no turning back.
It is your destiny.
Okay, so what does IMDb have to say about this movie?
All right, so it's directed by James Gray, a true life drama centering on Percival Fawcett, who disappeared while searching for a mysterious city in the Amazon in the 1920s. Which is totally a spoiler, but
big time, yeah.
Whatever, Amazon, IMDb, it's a fucking spoiler. Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy and Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
A really unrecognizable Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Sienna Miller and Spider-Man himself, Tom Holland.
Yes.
First off, mad respect, James Gray.
Yeah.
He shot this on 35mm.
Yeah.
And you can really tell.
I really wish people advertised that fact as reviews were coming out, because I didn't know.
No, it looks nice.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't have that cleanness mm-hmm. that we're used to. I yeah. noticed it right away. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This is a 35 millimeter.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, put through a digital intermediate.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's DCP, but
yeah.
it looks really good.
Yeah, it's got that grainy goodness, that fabric
yeah.
to the movie that you don't get anymore.
Yeah, this is the tale of two movies. I liked one and didn't like the other.
Okay, yeah.
Every time he was in the jungle looking for the lost city of Zed, I was like, cool, this is awesome.
Yeah.
When he went back home, it sucked.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then Charlie Hunnam had to act.
Yeah. I thought he did a fine job in this one. But maybe that's just the exploration stuff where he really... Where he really excels.
Yeah, like he's this guy who gets this thing in his head that he has to find this lost city, and it drives his whole entire life. And yeah, he's fine when he's in the jungle. The jungle scenes are really well shot.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of cool stuff happens. But then he goes back to England, and every time he goes away on an adventure, he seems to have a kid.
Yeah.
And he comes back, and it's like, oh, by the way, here's your daughter. Yeah. Oh, by the way, here's your son.
I'm like, yeah, dude. He's now 5 years old.
I know. I'm just like, dude.
Yeah.
And one time, he didn't even know she was pregnant. He's like, oh, yeah, by the way, you have a daughter.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, what?
Yeah, dude can't miss. No. He's a sniper.
Meanwhile, he's like, peace, I got to go back to the woods and the Amazon and try to find the city.
Yeah.
Getting, meeting some natives.
Yeah.
Getting getting almost killed by piranha.
Oh, man, that was hardcore. By the way,
piranha are really cool.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, I think the really cool thing about this film is that if I honestly didn't know that was Robert Pattinson,
mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't have known that was Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I spent about the half of the movie going, is that Robert Pattinson?
Yeah, I thought he was really good.
He was good, yeah.
For kind of a smaller role where mm-hmm. he kind of disappears for a while
yeah.
in the movie, he's really good.
Oh, yeah.
He's much better than he was in Twilight, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
Sienna Miller is really good.
Yeah, she's good.
And Tom Holland.
Yeah.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, in his native accent.
Yeah.
So, which is pretty cool.
Charlie Hunnam, too.
Yeah.
He's English.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But, this is not Embrace the Serpent.
No, definitely not.
I wish it kind of was at times, but that's a pretty cool film if you haven't seen that. But this one is, The Tale of Two Films.
Mm.
Go for the – see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
That 35 looks really nice up there.
Yeah, it's stunning.
And the jungle scenes are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it kind of has an Apocalypse Now vibe to it too.
I think that's deliberate, yeah. They definitely go for that for sure because he's kind of – You know, he's going out to the jungle for years yeah. at a time, losing his mind, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that James Gray didn't lose his mind like Francis Ford Coppola did, though.
That's right.
And, you know, he probably wasn't funding this with his own money. But, it's like a 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
I wish I could go higher because I do like the jungle scenes.
But, oh, yeah.
Man, some of it just drags.
It does, big time. Yeah, on Letterboxd, I think I gave it 3.5 out of 5. Because I love the exploration stuff, and to begin though, like I didn't know anything about about this going in.
When I texted you saying that it was opening, did you even know what the film was?
No, I had no idea. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Because I'm searching for movies to review.
Yeah. So yeah, I went and saw it whatever day that was, Saturday, I think. And as it opens, I was like, oh no, it's a period costume drama. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's not my movie, man. Like, I'm not a fan of people, you know, English people wearing their stupid wigs and talking about their status and prestige and all that stuff. And that's what it is for the first, like, 20 minutes. And but once he gets to the exploration stuff, I was like, all in. I was like, wow, this is really cool.
And it's really not what I expected. Like, this is not, like, Kong Skull Island.
Right.
This is really kind of, like, quiet, try to be peaceful with people kind of movie,
mm-hmm.
not like we're going to kill everybody and fly in on choppers and kill giant orangutans. And it's really quiet and quite quaint.
Yeah. And I thought that just on the topic of being, you know, realistic, the events that unfolded felt plausible as I was watching them. Like I didn't really have to do a lot of suspension of disbelief. I was like, oh yeah, I can see how this would probably play out this way. And yeah, I really enjoyed it.
The one thing I didn't like about the jungle scenes was during one of his excursions to the Amazon, he has a really goofy villain with him.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty annoying.
Yeah.
And it didn't really go anywhere.
No. Not really.
Big setup, no payoff.
But yeah, 35 millimeter looks really good.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
But yeah, if you can't see it, wait for Netflix. Mm-hmm. It'll be just as good up there, probably.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, but it's not a great movie.
Yeah, I agree. Cheap night if you want.
Treat yourself to some popcorn.
Yeah, man.
Or some nachos like I did.
There you go.
Extra cheese.
Oh, extra cheese.
Yeah, that's hardcore. I got a slush puppy too.
Oh, nice.
Cherry flavor.
Damn.
Yeah, I was super hungry and I'm like, do you guys have hot dogs too?
Yeah.
And they're like, we're out of hot dogs. I'm like, fuck.
How can they be out of hot dogs?
I don't know. You have one job.
That's right. Oh, dude. Did you recline and everything too?
Oh, I totally did. Yeah. Yeah, we were comfortable. We were at the Capital Six. They got full recliners. Oh, so good.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great place to see a movie.
Yeah, I was fully stretched out.
Nice.
Probably not good for my back, but whatever.
Yeah. Cool, man.
That's it for me.
Cool. Okay, so let's move on to our next part of the show, the movie club. This is where Bill picks a movie, we watch it, and we come back here and talk about it. It's always a good time. You always pick really cool titles for us to watch. And this one, I believe, is a very important title out of the movie club we've watched so far. This certainly feels like one of the most important ones. This one is called Tower, and it came out last year?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this film?
So it's directed by Keith Maitland. It's an animation film, which it's a documentary too.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of good things. Like every time I pick a documentary for Movie Club, it seems to not work properly. Mm-hmm. Animation, testimony, and archival footage combine to relate the events of August 1st, 1966, when a gunman opened fire from the University of Texas clock tower, killing 16 people. Whew, that's a tough subject.
That's heavy, man.
And the thing that's really cool about this film is the animation. Because let's face it, if this happened tomorrow, it would be all over YouTube, and mm-hmm. some dude would be streaming it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
But because it's 1966, it's just news footage. Yeah. And they didn't have very much news footage.
Right.
So this is all reimagined from people talking about what actually happened.
Yeah.
And holy crap, does it work.
Oh, yeah.
That's a beautiful film.
It really is.
For being so tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tragic event, but I think they find a lot of beauty out of this story. Just when they talk about their stories, when you get these sort of unsung heroes just answering the call and just being great humans, that really touched me. I was moved right from the get-go, like as soon as that woman talked about when she got shot and her boyfriend at the time got shot. It was just so harrowing. And
oh, yeah, and by the way, she was pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
which just ups the ante about 1,000 times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, she was out in the hot pavement the whole time, and we've been to Austin, Texas when it's hot, and I can't imagine being under those circumstances and to be able to talk about it present day. It's just, I think it's an amazing thing. And these people, I think, I don't know, it's hard to put into words how I feel about them because it's just such a horrible event. And for them to come out and still find strength with each other, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, just normal people who are hanging around the campus who become heroes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you would do if that happened, but we can all say, oh yeah, I would totally jump in.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
No.
If you hear bullets flying by, mm-hmm. I don't know how much of a pussy I would be.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been tested in that kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Hope I never get tested in that kind of a situation. That's hardcore.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch, but could you imagine this film being something like about Columbine?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I could totally see something like that.
Yeah, like how hard would that be?
Yeah.
It's just the idea of it's rotoscope animation, mm-hmm. which is really cool.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's real time.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's like 1 hour and 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's the entire thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was blown away by that. It works so well.
Yeah.
When I watched this film, I was like, wow, this should probably win best Oscar documentary thing.
Yeah.
And of course, it didn't even get nominated.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, that's, can't put good documentaries in that.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably didn't even watch it.
Probably not. But, yeah, brave cops.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool cops. Mm-hmm. The conclusion is really hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. quite surprised at how effective that is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I would do in this situation.
Yeah, same here. And that's the thing, as you're watching a movie like this, you're asking yourself, what would I do? You have no way of knowing. And what I find really interesting about this film is they interview a woman who watched from the windows, and she even confesses toward the end of the movie that she's quote unquote a coward. And that just broke my heart, because I was like, how can she feel like a coward when somebody's doing something just so terrible and so frightening? She didn't prepare for that. Nobody prepared for that. And even now, none of us are prepared for a situation like that. And for her to say that she's a coward, I was just like, oh man, like how many other people may have felt that way during the day and in days after, years after, wondering if they could have done more.
There's no Jason Statham in that group.
No.
Like, there's nobody. That's all fake, man. Like, this was real shit. I wouldn't be able to do it.
No.
I know for a fact I wouldn't be able to. Mm-hmm. By the way, here's my little rant about this film. Do you know how much this movie made at the box office? Shame on you people.
How much?
94 grand.
What? Oh, man. This deserves way more than that.
$94,000.
Yeah.
Probably cost more to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it did. It probably cost a couple million dollars to make.
Yeah.
But, shame on everybody for not seeing this film.
Mm-hmm.
In case you guys haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It's a must watch.
It really is. Yeah. It's essential. And interesting note, a friend of mine was actually in the movie. He was the kid with the rifle.
Nice.
And it was actually him in the movie too. Like it's modeled after him and everything. And,
that blow your mind?
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, that's Tyler. What's going on here? And then I saw his name in the credits, and yeah, it's crazy. But as much as you can. It's not one you got. How do you say you enjoyed it? Like it's a lovely film.
I have no problem saying I enjoy a film if I mm-hmm. enjoy the film.
Yeah,
it could be the harshest film ever made. I'm like, mm-hmm. that's a really great, enjoyable film.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's just me, I guess.
Yeah,
I have a little bit of a. I'm gonna go a little spoiler here.
Sure.
So if you don't want to hear it, 30 seconds. What did you think about the going to real footage at the end?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I
read some people complain about that.
Really?
I'm like, you're high.
Yeah. No, that was super effective.
Yeah.
Because you see in the animation, you see them as they were younger, but then you see the real people.
Yeah.
I thought that grounded it a lot more and made it more intimate. So I love that
choice. What is wrong with people, man?
Yeah. That's a weird complaint.
Looking for something to complain about.
Yeah, that's bad.
Holy crap. A documentary.
Yeah.
That was liked in Movie Club.
Yeah. Loved on Movie Club.
Nice.
We mentioned on the last episode that we call him a brother of the show, Will Lindis. He's got very close ties to this movie, Tower, because he's from Austin, Texas. His birthday is actually August 1st, which is the anniversary of the UT Tower massacre. He sent me a message here about this movie. I'll just read you a couple things that I wanted to share.
Of course, Will's going to outclass us. But
oh, he totally will.
He's such a good writer.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just read this out here. As a current resident of Austin, Texas, it's impossible to think about the tragic events of this film without putting them into the context of locations I've been and interacted with. Growing up, I was in the communities rocked by both the Lubbies massacre and the Fort Hood shooting, and my birthday is August 1st, the anniversary of the UT Tower massacre. Location, anniversary, and parallel experiences have drawn my curiosity to this event over the years. When we screened Tower at South by Southwest in 2016, it was everything I wanted it to be and more. As a documentary, it allows new techniques, the animation, to tell the story in a much more immediate and urgent way than would be possible from a traditional talking head format. Plus, I love that this film focuses on the survivors and the victims, and only mentions the assailant's name once in passing. For a film about such a terrible day, it somehow left me feeling optimistic that even in our scariest moments, people band together, perform acts of heroism, and become lights in the darkness. Once again, Will just completely outclasses us in every way.
Totally.
That's beautifully said,
Will. He brings up a good point, like the idea of it being a talking head documentary. I'm pretty sure Errol Morris would knock this out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they did this was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
The animation just works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks, Will.
Yeah.
As always. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So thanks very much for sharing your thoughts. And yeah, we have another movie club. What's our next movie club choice?
So I was going through my Blu-ray collection, trying to find some stuff earlier. By that, I mean like 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm not prepared at all.
That's all good.
And I thought, hey, you know what, man? Can't go wrong with this one. It was my favorite film of 2010.
Nice.
From the great director Mike Lee, which I don't think you've seen a lot of.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact you had a bad Mike Lee experience.
I did.
At VIFF a couple of years
I
ago.
I did. Very bad.
With Mr. Turner, yeah. Which we both didn't like.
Yeah.
This one's a good one. It was my favorite film that year. And when I saw it, when the film ended, I couldn't get out of my seat.
Really?
I was so stunned by this film.
Wow.
I saw it twice at that film festival.
Cool.
And I could have saw it five times more and it wouldn't have mattered.
Nice.
I think it's that damn good.
Right
so
on.
Yeah, from 2010, another year.
Okay.
Featuring the great Leslie Manville.
Sweet.
Maybe one of the greatest female performances I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Jim Broadbent's pretty good too.
Nice.
So is Ruth Sheen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an amazing film. I hope you like it.
Cool.
If not, end a movie club.
Hey.
No pressure.
Hey, I see it was nominated for an Oscar, so it must be good.
Totally.
That's how you qualify it, right?
Yeah. So pathetic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, dude. So
yeah, I only pick movie club by Oscar nominations. You know that, right?
That's right. So if you want to participate in Movie Club, we've just started doing this. If you want to talk about the next one or any previous Movie Club, doesn't matter from which episode, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, instant message, whatever you choose, and we'll read it on the show, just like we did for Will. So if you want to join Movie Club for another year, that one... That sounded kind of funny. The movie is called Another Year, and if you want to talk about it on Movie Club, you have until May 7th. That's the next time we record. Or if you happen to be listening to this weeks or months later, still send us your thoughts, and we'd love to hear from you. We'll share it on the show.
Cool, man. Hope you like it.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
I adore that film.
It's been one that's been on my list. I just haven't made the time.
Nice.
So, yeah, right on, dude.
Cool.
All right, so let's move to our next part of the show. This is the lightning round. This is where we just offer brief reviews of other movies we've watched between last episode and this episode. I'll start because I actually watched some movies.
Nice.
Yeah, I made an effort this time.
Did you stop playing Zelda?
Yeah, I did.
Nice.
That's why. I haven't finished it, but I'll get back to it. So I watched The Devil's Candy. Oh, man, this movie is like metal as fuck, dude.
Totally metal as fuck.
I love it. Like, Devil's Candy, it's about it's got kind of a classic setup you've seen in horror films before, like a family moves into a house where the previous owners were killed or they died. We see what happens, but the real estate agent doesn't really tell them all the details.
By law, I must tell you that somebody previously died in this house.
Yeah. And that's all he says.
Law point.
That's right. But yeah, I forgot. Ethan Embry. He's awesome in
this. Dude, how metal does he look in this? He's like, he's ripped.
Yeah.
He's always wearing like a Cannibal Corpse shirt.
Yeah.
He's got long stringy hair.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he has in real life.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his daughter in the movie, she's super metal. And I was like vibing with that whole family. I was like, yeah, right on, dude.
Hey, he's a painter. He paints really metal paintings. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. And the movie's, it's a lot of fun to watch. I had a good time watching this one. And the conclusion, I was just like flashing my horns at the screen. And yeah, I really enjoyed it.
You know, it's a pretty good movie. Like right when the movie ends, the credits come up, and there's like a pentagram.
Yeah.
Like blood dripping off it.
Yeah.
And Metallica's playing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, you can keep the party going through the credits.
Totally.
It's a lot of fun. Well worth your time.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah.
I don't know if I talked about that one. I watched that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think you did.
Did I?
Yeah,
I don't
so.
Remember.
Yeah. Then I also watched a documentary on Netflix called Sneakerheads. I saw the runtime. It's pretty short, so I was like, oh, I'll watch this. And it's exactly what you think it is. It's people who buy shoes and dozens and hundreds of thousands of shoes. And
I went to a store a couple days ago to buy some new shoes. Do you know LeBron James has a pair of basketball shoes that are $269.99?
Nice.
What?
Yeah, that's what they're all about.
Back in my day, Jordans, which were the shoe, they were $149.99.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they were the most expensive shoes ever. And I was like, I had a paper route, but I needed my Jordans.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought those motherfuckers.
Yeah, man.
I would never pay $270 for a pair of LeBron James freaking high tops.
Yeah. But these people do it. They cover all the, you know, sneaker heads that, you know, one guy has like a safe where he keeps all his stuff. It's got like his big combination and
it's a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little hardcore. But these people love their shoes. And one guy even like travels the world just to buy shoes. I guess if you have the money, go for it. It's your world, man.
How about they finance my film festivals?
Hey, that'd be cool.
Holy crap. So expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting, though. I think it's worth the watch. If you're mildly interested, you'll probably like it. But if you watch a trailer, it's exactly the movie you think it is. It's people jerking off talking about shoes.
Nice. What's the runtime?
I think it's like 70 minutes.
Oh, that seems easy.
Yeah.
Pad my stats with that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. And then I watched Joe Swanberg's latest film on Netflix called Win It All. Jake Johnson? Is that his
name? Jake Johnson.
Yeah, Jake Johnson's in this. He's a good actor. I really like him, and he's a good actor in this. Just the movie doesn't really have much to say. And, you know, Joe Swanberg, if you're unfamiliar, his scripts are very loosely written. They leave a lot of room for creativity with the director and actors, and I think I'm just not a fan of his work at this
point. Mumblecore.
Mumblecore, yeah.
Yeah, he was the one who started that movement.
Yeah. So there's scenes in the movie where you can tell which actors feel comfortable and which actors feel uncomfortable with the concept of mumblecore. And it's like, yeah, maybe you guys probably should have, you know, shot that scene a couple more times.
Yeah, he plays a degenerate gambler who gets a gift but still finds a way to screw it up.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it's an okay film.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there.
Yeah.
Not much going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think too highly of it, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, except for Jake. He's great. I love Jake. He's great on New Girl.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I just can't recommend the film.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
It's a shame. And for a movie that's based on poker, I wish they would have hired somebody who's actually played poker, because as I was watching it, like, I used to play poker growing up and everything, and I know you're familiar with the rules of poker, too, and you played. There's a lot of things that just, like, there's a bit where he announces a raise. Now, when you announce a raise, you're committed to that. Then another character goes, are you sure you want a raise? He's like, oh, you're right, I'll fold. And then he folds. It's like, no, that's not allowed. That's an angle shoot is what you're doing. And there were a lot of moments like that when they were playing poker. I was like, no, that's not how poker goes. That's not... you guys.
I didn't even notice that, but maybe I was just bored with the film.
Yeah. And then I watched a couple stand-up specials. Louis C.K.'s latest one, I finished that. That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. He has this bit. Have you seen it?
I have.
Okay. His bit where he talks about why you should shave your head. Oh my God. I was like crying. I was laughing so hard. He's dark as hell.
Like that second Chappelle show special.
Yeah.
This one got pretty dark.
It did.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it overall, though. I had a good time. This is how bored I got. I watched Kevin Hart's special, What Now? And it starts out with like a 15-minute intro where it's like supposed to be like a James Bond movie or something. It's really terrible. It's really big and elaborate and expensive.
A 4'9" James Bond?
Yeah, that's right.
Oops.
Yeah. And I've determined that, you know, with watching a lot of these specials lately, like Louis C.K. and Dave Chappelle and now Kevin Hart, and, you know, I've watched a whole bunch of others. Kevin Hart is about 95% delivery and 5% content. Like, his jokes are not funny, but the way he tells them are sometimes funny.
Wow.
He sure
can't act a lick.
No, he can't.
I hate Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Hate.
Yeah. I don't blame you, man. He's over the top. And there were some bits that were funny, but it's just, it's all about his delivery. And he's making a fortune off this, so
yeah,
good for him.
When you came over, I was watching Anthony Jeselnik special on Netflix.
Okay.
You got to watch that.
Nice.
That's some good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's it for me.
Nice. Okay, I watched a bunch of really bad films today.
All right.
It's only two, actually. And I got a TV show. I'll do a TV show first.
Sure.
The Return of Fargo.
Okay.
The best show on TV that nobody's watching.
Yeah.
This season, we have Ewan McGregor playing two roles.
Oh, sweet.
One is a dude with a really bad perm, and one dude with a really bad comb over.
Nice.
So good. Plus, if you're a big Scoop McNairy fan, the first episode is the Scoop McNairy show.
Sweet.
He's a drunk, paroled guy who likes to rob people.
Nice.
He's just not very good at it.
Oh, man. How many seasons are they in
this now? Is the third season, but okay. they all don't connect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's really good.
Cool.
I love Fargo.
Nice. I'll have to start it.
Yeah. Yeah. Noah Hawley is the guy who does – he's a showrunner. He also did Legion.
Okay.
This year, yeah. Which is probably the best show of the year so far.
Sweet.
If you haven't watched that, get on that. On to the movies. Yeah. Phoenix Forgotten. Found footage movie.
Oh, no.
That's enough right there, folks.
Yeah. Next.
Yeah. The first part is not even like scary or anything. It's the usual shit. It's like we get to know the people.
Oh yeah,
fuck off. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, we don't need character development.
Here's one thing I will give it credit for. There's no stupid jump scares like a Blair Witch or anything like that.
Okay, yeah.
You know how Blair Witch, like, what are you doing?
Hey, what are you doing over here, Bill?
It was just like none of that kind of crap.
Yeah,
it's still like a 1-star film, but congratulations for not having shitty jump scares.
There you go.
Yeah, avoid that film. It's so funny. I texted a friend of mine. I'm like, have you seen Phoenix Forgotten? It's like, dude, they didn't press screen that for us.
Oh, jeez.
I'm like, obviously,
yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah,
it's really terrible.
Okay.
On to the second terrible film, Unforgettable, with Rosario Dawson and Katherine Heigl.
Oh, you went to. Oh, no.
I thought we needed content for the show.
There you go.
That stupid saying for the podcast.
For the podcast.
For the podcast.
Oh, man.
This one's really bad.
That's
also
a shocker.
Also not screened for critics. Wonder why. It's exactly what you think it is, but not as crazy as I thought it would be, so it's not even that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it needed to be. It just needed to be, like, so crazy it's laughable.
Okay.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid.
I will.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Yeah, Katherine Heigl, she's on my shit list. So,
yeah, Adrian's list.
That's right.
It's full of people.
Yeah.
And this morning I saw a 4K restoration of Mike Nichols' The Graduate.
Okay.
One of my favorite Dustin Hoffman films.
Sweet.
He's like 20. He's great. I love that film.
Cool.
Looked really good. Had a Criterion logo in front of it because they did the restoration for the 4K. It's still really good. I don't like watching these films because I don't know how they're going to age.
Right.
Always scary.
Yeah.
This one was pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah, I liked it.
Nice.
I just wish there was more than 7 people there.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh crap. Mm. Congratulations for showing up.
That sucks.
Yeah. But that's it for me.
Right on, dude.
And as I said, it's been a pretty weak week. So
it has.
Thought I'd watch the movies Adrian wouldn't watch.
Right on, dude. Thanks for taking two for the team. Sorry, two.
Damn right. doesn't get any better, man.
Yeah, what's coming up?
So April 28th, The Circle. Tom Hanks in what looks like a kind of a riff on Scientology, but more scientific.
Right.
More about cameras and people being watched, and they think they can cure everything with the power of something.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite say it in the trailer. Xenu.
Yeah.
it could be cool.
I mean, I'm interested. The cast is good.
John Boyega. Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Who's Emma Watson?
Yeah. Eller Coltrane.
Eller Coltrane, yeah.
Great Eller Coltrane.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I think it looks pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I like Tom Hanks doesn't really make a lot of bad movies, so this could be good. How to Be a Latin Lover. It won't open here.
Okay.
I'm already calling it.
Yeah.
It's ethnic, so we're the whitest city in North America, it won't open here.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good. Trailer looks kind of funny.
Mm.
Below Her Mouth.
Okay.
Which is opening in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it so much, I thought I would talk about it.
Nice.
It's already opened in Canada.
Okay.
They had a contractual obligation to open it across Canada, so they opened it on 20 screens and then closed it after a week.
Really?
I saw it at the Whistler Film Festival. It's one of the worst films I saw last year.
Really?
It's terrible. It's a lesbian film.
Yeah.
That my lesbian friend at work didn't even like. She's mm-hmm. like, this is made for me, and I still hated this film.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, what do you think I felt about it?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So, yeah, she didn't enjoy that. It's really terrible. Don't watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I won't.
Yeah, really terrible. And one that Adrian has seen from Fantastic Fest.
Yeah.
He said nothing but praise.
Yeah.
Buster's Malheart.
I really enjoy this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's, yeah, I don't want to say too much about it. It's very mysterious. And I was always interested in whatever was happening.
Starring Mr. Robot himself.
That's right.
Yes.
And he was cast shortly after he started shooting Mr. Robot. So
he probably didn't get paid.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he didn't get paid. And yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this one.
Yeah.
Your praise was enough for me.
Cool.
May 5th, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the biggest films of the year. Everybody's going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure we're going to like it.
Yeah.
Because I love the first one. Love the first. Other than Lee Pace's crappy villain.
Yeah.
I love the first one. And legit, that is it. That week.
Wow.
Nothing. As per my rant, nothing is opening against Guardians.
It's a black hole.
We get Colossal.
Yeah.
Which will help.
Yeah.
Adrian's already seen it, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We'll still talk about it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. But that's it.
Ah.
Welcome to the show that's going to be 30 minutes long next episode.
Yeah. Right on.
That might be good because I am fucking tired and allergied out. And yeah, this was a tough show.
It was. Yeah, it was very tough. Yeah, I actually had a migraine a couple days ago and still haven't fully recovered from that. So
I hope I sounded okay.
Yeah.
I feel echoey.
Nah, it's all good.
Yeah,
I'll fix it in post.
My nose is all like,
it's all good. Oh, one other thing. Mahdi is open in Canada now, right?
Yeah. I totally forgot that opened.
Yeah, so that opened.
I saw that in September.
There you go. Bill saw it when it was cool.
Totally. I'm that guy.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're in Canada, go see Mahdi. It's a beautiful film. Couple of the best performances you'll see all year.
Sally Hawkins and Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, really good stuff. And I'm not sure if it has a U.S. release date. I certainly hope it does.
I hope it does too.
Yeah.
Just to qualify it for Oscars.
Yeah, go for it.
She deserves an Oscar nomination.
She does.
I just thought of something really random.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, bring it on.
You know the only car race scene in Fate of the Furious?
Oh, yeah.
You know where they end that car race? They're on like a beach?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know where that beach is from?
No.
Do you remember the movie One of the Dead?
Yes.
At the end of the film?
Oh, is that this?
He's holding up his gun waiting for the zombies to come, and it's playing Sid Vicious doing My Way?
Yeah.
That's that beach.
No way. That's awesome. Oh, wicked.
Can I tell you people how much I love the movie One of the Dead?
It's so good.
If you haven't seen One of the Dead, it's one of the best zombie movies ever made.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
So yeah, I saw that on Twitter. The director was like, oh yeah, this is where this happened.
And oh,
I was
like, sweet.
Holy shit.
That's cool. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. That's cool.
Weird random thoughts when Bill's on allergy medication.
That's right. Cool. Well, I guess we can start to wrap up the show here. People can find you on Twitter, right?
Yeah, I am at SoundJam69. Say hi.
Say hi. The show has a Twitter account. We're at @green_screen. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. We're also on Facebook. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like. And hey, you liked us on Facebook. Good for you. And we're also on various podcast platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, anywhere where you can find a podcast. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Throw us a like and comment. That helps us find more listeners, and we'd appreciate that. So, yeah, I guess that's about it, man. Let's get the heck out of here.
Yeah, dude. Silicon Valley.
That's right.
Yes.
Season premiere. Bring it on. And thanks again, everybody, for listening. We'll talk with you next time.
Thanks. Were we mean there?
No. A movie that makes $1 billion, their feelings are going to be okay.